Welcome to Unlimited Parenting, where we discuss having children with disabilities and special health care needs. My name is Allison, and today I am joined by my other host. You're basically a host, right? Oh, yeah. My partner in crime,
that's me.
Melissa, and she has just recently done something very exciting, and she is the key holder of all of this knowledge, and I'm going to make her share it with me and you. And your friend Steve. Sorry.
Yeah.
Steve. Anyway, okay.
You got to be really old to know that.
Well, welcome back from iPad Boot Camp.
Thank you.
Which is what it was called, right?
iPad Boot Camp.
And it was through SESTA?
It was.
And what does SESTA stand for?
So SESTA is our state's special education training and technical assistance for a special education LEA. So our local education agencies can participate and have SESTA provide them special education training and technical assistance.
So is that who was there? It was a bunch of... school staff, districts.
It was a really cool combination of people. So it was paraprofessionals. It was a lot of speech language pathologists.
Yeah.
Probably three or four speech language pathologists. And then there were four or five special education teachers. We had some individuals from VR, so vocational rehab, that was there. A couple people that help students that have visual or hearing impairments. So really like a whole bunch of different people, and then some parents too.
Yeah, that's wild, because I had just assumed that it was teachers.
No.
I didn't realize it was service providers.
Yeah, it was a whole bunch of people.
Administrators. It was parents. It was more than just one day, right?
It was 2 days. And our first full day we focused on, I got there and I thought, oh, this isn't really iPad boot camp because we were making things. But the things that we were making, so I should back up and I should say that this was hosted and facilitated by Therese Wilkham, and she is a PhD out of the New Hampshire. She is our Janice Carson.
Okay.
And for those of us in Idaho who just love our AT project, and Janice Carson is the executive director of that. So Therese is Janice in the state of New Hampshire. But she has also gone on to really make this her life's mission of supporting students, but also supporting them with technology, but supporting them with the assistive technology to support their assistive technology too.
Okay, because I was going to say, why did we source someone from New Hampshire?
Right?
Because she's so knowledgeable.
So she is knowledgeable about not only technology, but how to make that technology accessible for all. So I'm talking about mounts on wheelchairs out of the most random things that you have ever thought. Or I have sitting in front of me, and for those of you who are out in internet land and they can't hear, I'm going to do the Velcro.
Oh, it's an ASMR podcast now.
It is, yes. But we took, so I showed up on the first day and I was a little nervous because sitting directly at my little tabletop were political signs. And I'm like,
oh, no.
Where did I go?
I thought I entered the wrong room.
Right? I thought I was at iPad boot camp. And then there were some scissors and there was some Velcro. So I started realizing that it was a therapy session. You were going to destroy stuff.
Right?
And we spent the first whole day ripping apart these political signs, sticking Velcro on them, and making the coolest iPad supports, different stuff that I didn't ever think that I even needed.
It's like a pop socket.
It's a pop socket in varying different styles of pop socket. So we have a small one for a phone. We have a larger one for an iPad. And there is varying. So they're on the backs of them. You can see that there's like sticky grippy so that they don't move on a table.
Oh, I never noticed that.
Super important for my kiddo because he is going to hit something, you know, and he needs things. He has a cortical visual impairment. And so we need things to be at an angle for him to see that. And these stands that we made out of these political signs allow us to be able to move and do what angle Reese's iPod would be the most efficient for him in. And it was all really made out of trash and treasures and not really expensive, because I bought iPad stands that are
right.
Really, really expensive and they don't work. And Reese checks them across our family room, right? And they're
it's free, frisbee now.
It's a
$100 frisbee. Mm-hmm.
This was a free frisbee that he has not destroyed yet to this point. He loves to play with the Velcro. I don't know who this person was that was running.
So what you're saying is, if you see me pulling political vote for me signs while you're driving to work, mind your business.
Mind your business.
I'm making
assistive technology. So, Ian, I have given a lot of these links and everything to Allison, and she's going to put in the notes because there is some really, really great. These books can all be purchased on Amazon, and they walk you through step by step of the things that we made. And the really great thing is she's provided videos because I'm a visual learner. So I also want it listed out, but I want to see the steps that it took, and I want to see it in action. And so that's really what we did the whole first day. We spent the first day making and hands-on, and we made mounts for chairs out of PVC pipe and some moldable, I didn't even know this stuff existed, these moldable beads that you can heat up with water and you can glue them to PVC pipe, and then the PVC pipe hooks right onto a wheelchair and you have a wheelchair mount. And and for $30, whereas you are going to spend hundreds of dollars on wheelchair mounts if you are purchasing them through your wheelchair manufacturer or as durable medical equipment. So I got really excited the first day because I saw all the possibilities, and I got like some of those creative juices flowing. And then it made me really excited to come back for day two and see what's the technology that we can now use, because now these students have it accessible to them. Whether they're a student that can only lay in bed, now we can have, she showed us how to make a mount for an iPad that can go directly above the student and support the student, you know, while they're laying in bed. So a lot of different options and a lot of different, we made things. It's kind of cool.
It was an arts and craft hour.
Mm-hmm. It really was.
I think it's a good demonstration of low versus medium versus high tech AT, because when I think of assistive technology, the very first thing I think of is an AAC.
Yeah.
Like Proloquo to go.
Yeah.
Is immediately the first thing I think of when I think of AAC. I'm not thinking of all the other ways that it's used, right? Like a communication board at the park.
Yeah.
Is assistive technology.
Right.
A graphic organizer is assistive technology. None of that stuff ever crosses my mind. No. None of these little phone stands.
No. I know. It never would have crossed your mind.
No, uh-uh. I would have never thought of any of this.
And that's why on day one, I went, I brought my iPad. When are we going to start?
You told me to bring my iPad.
Got it. And I had to rip that out of my kid's hand and take it. And so he was not happy. So the second day, we really spent a lot of time diving into the different apps for things like communication. We spent a little bit of time on that. But also visual schedule apps, some fine motor, gross motor. And so I thought maybe we could even talk about some of those.
Yeah, because one of them on here, I was listening to you talk. I really was. But I was laughing and you gave me a weird look, and it was because I read the Remember the Milk.
What? Well, you're going to laugh because that is an app that we have actually started using in my home after I went to this. So I'll start out with kind of what a lot of people think of when they think of assistive technology, which is exactly what you just said, in the there are those communication and speech apps. And I would say we did not spend a ton of time on this because as a speech language pathologist, I'm not one, but a speech language pathologist is going to need to facilitate and help you as a family really figure out what the right need is for your kiddo if they need an augmentative communication app. I know my kiddo uses one, and we spent years and years and years with our SLP really just trying to figure out what the
right.
And there's no right or wrong answer. It's just kind of pick one, stick with it, and, you know, go
pray for the best.
Exactly. And so we chose Proloquo. That's what we've always used. That's what we do. There are several other ones, and we did go into a little bit of this at iPad Bootcamp and just kind of touched on. They're expensive, but these are language, and these are robust language systems that can grow with students. And so some of the most popular ones on there, obviously Proloquo is really, really popular. I like it because it uses those symbols that my son has always used. He recognizes them. But it's also really easy to modify, add on the fly. I can add buttons as we need them. And it allows us to just kind of be able to add to his communication as he needs it. Not to say any of these other ones don't.
Can I ask a question? Yep. Mm-hmm. As someone whose kids don't use AAC devices, when we talk about them being more universal in terms of symbols, does that mean that, you know, the crosswalk symbol looks the same as the ones just at a normal crosswalk?
Yeah.
So everything is the same. So you can get that generalization of they see it on their app or their talker, and then they see it IRL in real life.
Yes, exactly. So some of them will use the board maker symbols that we see and are very familiar with.
Okay.
Those are those symbols probably. Symbols. Yeah. There are some, I think LAMP is one that uses their own symbols. And so it would just be for a student that recognizes those symbols, stick with LAMP for life, you know?
Okay.
Stick with what that student is recognizing, I would say. But again, I'm not an SLP. I just have played one in real life for 14 years.
Oh yeah. You are the expert in your child, right?
My kiddo, yeah. So I don't want to spend tons of time on communication apps, but there's some really cool ones out there. And some cool ones that can be really Proloquo can go on a phone. You know, it can be really
that is what and you know what? It shouldn't be wild to me, right? Because it should be universal. You should be able to use it everywhere. But it just is wild to me.
It is. But how transportable is that?
Right.
You know, that's pretty cool.
It's just like a translator device, you know,
when exactly.
foreign exchange students come and they have a device and they can take it anywhere with them.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's that. Anyways, and then we spent a lot of time on organization and time management. And we spent a lot of time actually just in our iPads and our iPhones working through the shortcuts that Apple offers. And there are so many cool things that you can do within just iOS using those shortcuts. For example, you know, if you're using the smart light bulbs, you can set
it up. You mean like in your house?
In your home.
Amazon.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. So if you're using a smart light bulb, and you can set that up with your phone to turn it on when you walk into a room with, you know, the little. So there are some.
And I would never think of that.
No.
I would just.
But we are people that can flip a light switch on as we walk into a room.
Yes. But it, now it reminds me of the, you know. The alarm clock that I use that has changed my life.
I know.
That's assistive technology, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Okay, now I have to explain the clock. Okay, so I have a really hard time waking up in the morning. So I've tried alarm clocks. I actually tried one of the alarm clocks that will, it's got a pad that goes under your bed sheet and it will vibrate your bed in case you were, you know, you were deaf or blind and you needed that. It didn't really work for me, but there's a clock. It looks like a toy. It's on wheels and it literally rolls away from you. If you have seen it before and you wondered who would ever buy that, it's me, ladies and gentlemen. It rolls away. It rolls under your bed. It rolls down the stairs and it makes you get up and chase after it. And it's so loud. It rolled downstairs this morning. I had to walk all the way down the stairs to get it. But you know what? It got my booty out of bed and I made a coffee and I walked back upstairs. I was in the best mood. I was like zippity doo dah because it works and it gets my butt out of bed. But that counts as right?
That is assistive technology. We didn't make it, but I totally count.
I just need to broaden my idea. Okay. Anyway, sorry.
No,
organization and time management.
But no, I think that is a really good forte or what do you call it? Segue forte.
Yes.
Segue.
It is my forte. Waking up in the morning is not my forte though.
No. So some apps that are really, that we talked about for organization and time management, there's a ChoiceWorks app that is a really good app to help students that really struggle with some executive functioning. Comes with ChoiceWorks calendar and it kind of pushes them all in together. And it allows students to prioritize. It allows students to see what's coming up next. But then you can input in some rewards and incentives into this as well. So it can, you can see that light at the end of the tunnel. If I do this and then I get to
you need a dopamine hit.
Yeah. Yeah. So I use a visual daily schedule with okay. my son, and that's the second, and it's number six on our, and it is $50 a year, but it allows us to kind of do that first then in real okay. life, and he can see it. It utilizes the same symbols as his proloquo, so then we have that generalization, right?
So kind this of is on his iPad. His, mm-hmm. It's not a, okay.
Yeah. So it's separate. And it kind of, it's our first then. So first we get up, then we wash our face. So, or first, you know, first we put our shoes on and then we get our backpack or, you know, so it follows those first then.
And it's on his tablet, which mm-hmm. he already uses to communicate. So it's yep. all just right there.
Yes. Well, it's on a separate tablet. So his tablet for communication, we only use it for communication.
Okay.
There's nothing else that goes on that. So all of our social stories and our visual timers, any of those kind of things go on a second iPad.
Okay. Does he carry them both around with him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He doesn't like to carry his
tablet. I'm sorry. I'm asking a lot about your home personal
no,
son.
I don't care.
When this is supposed to be very broad, but now I'm really curious.
I think for a lot of users that use an AAC device, it comes very, some people carry it around. Some people wear it on them.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So these are good questions for, you're someone that doesn't.
Yes. Not in the world. There is no AAC device yeah. or, I mean, obviously. The main person who uses assistive technology
is you.
It's me. Yeah. So,
but then we're going to get to the Remember the Milk app. And this is an app that I learned about at the iPad boot camp. And I went, this is an app that my husband needs. Not my son who uses an AAC device.
Your husband and your coworker.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Please download this app.
But this was something. And so this is something that we have downloaded together and it can be synced up and. So it can be used to really organize homework or, you know, sports schedules or something like that. But
okay.
we're using it from like a household management kind of standpoint. Like we need milk and we need butter.
And people should know, right? You have four kids. You're not just, you're a fast pace moving. Everyone's going in different directions.
Yeah.
And that is that kind of like, maybe this isn't popping up in your For You page. Yeah. But those big calendars, right? And they look like a framed portrait.
Yeah.
And people are checking off their tasks and stuff. Is this similar?
It is. I want one of those.
I want one of those so bad.
Those are absolutely popping up on my For You page. I just don't think, I think I would use that. I don't think there would be the shared use
right.
that.
Did they actually, that is such a good thing that I really wanted to ask you about. Did they talk about how to get buy-in from your student, from your child, because you know, when you want to try something new, kids are like, no, thank you. I prefer the way we have always done it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, well, some, not necessarily, but I guess some of the buy-in would come from a lot of kids are motivated by technology. Fair. So for example, some of the educational professionals that were there, some of the teachers that were there said, oh, we are doing it this way that's low tech. I could see this being very motivating from a high tech standpoint. So some of the visual schedules, some of the visual timers, they're doing those very low tech right now. They're doing them with Velcro and
yeah, on the board.
Right. Or a timer just so. They're seeing this as maybe it would be motivating because students are very motivated by technology and apps. So we didn't necessarily talk about how to get the buy-in.
Okay.
But
it's very much, you can tell it's a conversation that people are having. Like you mentioned, the low tech isn't working. So maybe we move on.
We move to high tech. Yeah.
Okay.
I also think, I think that was a really good question because I also think that some of the supports that we learned, like some of the stands, some of how to make the technology more accessible for students would also then help the students and be more motivating.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, this is like the scratching the surface of the things that we learned.
Okay.
When I say, like, we learned how to make a light box for a student that's maybe...
You guys were building KiwiCo kits.
We were, yes. I mean, there were, yes. Scissors, holes, sawing. Like we were building.
You were living your best life. That's your thing.
It really was. It was my favorite. If there'd have been a few farm animals around there, I'd
just, well then I need to go feed the chicken.
Right. But I so no, there wasn't exact talk about how to make it motivating, but I think all of the things that we were doing would have directly related and made students more, if that makes
sense. Yeah, no, it does. I know what you're saying.
Okay. Okay. So now we could talk about some of the reading and writing apps that we went into. My most favorite is always, always, always going to be, well, I'll wait till I get to fine motor because it's more fine motor. We talked about Learning Ally, and this wasn't something that I had really ever really thought of, and I don't know why, but a membership is required for that. But it essentially, this is an audiobook app that there are so many audiobooks and students that are allowed to go on here. Students that are struggling with reading, students that are struggling with some dyslexia, processing, phonetic, just any students that are having some learning difficulty or reading difficulties, this is a really, they can slow it down. And I'm sure it's the same with any audiobook app. This one just was, we talked about it because it's used primarily within the school systems, I guess. Okay. Have you ever heard of that? As long as
I haven't heard of it.
So it's a subscription based, but it's apparently it's a subscription based that a lot of schools and educational facilities are, they get.
That would be something good to add in Cultivating Readers Smart 2.0.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, there's lots of This was such a good workshop for you to go to.
It really did.
There's a lot of crossover.
Yeah,
you're right.
There actually was.
Oh my gosh, you were right.
My most favorite. You love that. That's going to be her soundbite. She's going to pull that out.
You were right.
Voice Dream Reader was the coolest thing that I've ever seen because it allows you as a student that needs to read a book that is in front of you to take your iPhone, scan it, and it reads that document out loud.
Stop it.
Out loud, right then and there. What a great piece of assistive technology.
Yes.
Right?
For any, what if
anyone
forgot your glasses?
Exactly.
What if?
And that is exactly what this app has allowed people to do.
What if you're studying and you just can't read one more thing? Or what if you're an audio learner instead of a reading learner, visual, and you just want, oh my God.
Right?
That is way
so cool. So it converts any text to read aloud, anything. So also very cool, when you said translation earlier, this is something that it's translatable to different languages as well. So,
oh wow.
Right? I'm like, I'm using this. Maybe.
Wait, talk to me about these customizable voices. Is this like Siri where I can make it be an Australian man?
Yeah. So some of those, and that's the same with a lot of the things that have voice outputs. Like,
oh, I'm just so ignorant to all of this. This is so cool.
Yeah, Reese's Proloquo has various different voices. He uses the Josh voice, which is a younger student. But you know
so what? It's like him.
It's like him. But his voice is getting deeper. Maybe he needs to be...
Dave?
Yeah, I don't know what
maybe
the name is.
Dave
but,
now.
But you can. You can customize it. I don't think you can, like, download Snoop Dogg to be reading it out. But like your GPS.
Like my children. Who the story where my mom had them read Matthew McConaughey right to them so they fell asleep.
But I think that might be in the Calm app, and that is actually an app.
The Calm app is
in
here. I know one.
You do know one. Yeah. So anyways, that book, that voice dream reader was the coolest thing that, I mean, that blew my mind. She popped it out, scanned it, it read aloud. So
Is that free just with in-app purchases?
There's in-app purchases. So sometimes you have to watch some videos and, you know, but what a cool
house,
right?
Right.
Yeah. The other one that I thought was really, really cool is for students that really struggle with handwriting is this Snap Type Pro 2. It's $49.99 a year, but it allows students to take pictures of their worksheets and it makes them customize fillable objects like that.
Like a PDF.
Like a PDF. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yes.
So that's for students where handwriting is a struggle, where we don't want to have a scribe that's with this student. This allows them to use their assistive technology, and then it makes it, and then it can be turned into their teacher. Your kiddo needs it.
That's what I was, was like, oh, you mean the kids who get behaviors when they, because they don't understand the point because everyone just types now anyway. So what's the point of handwriting?
What's the point?
Wow. Okay.
There you go.
Yep.
There are some, you know, we see our zones of regulation. So a lot of to help calm down. The Zones of Regulation app is $5.99, but it helps students kind of learn and recognize their emotions through those zones that are really aware, our kids are really aware of. But it also gives them prompts of, you know, maybe to get back into green, maybe just chewing gum would help you
focus. It gives ideas.
So it's not just like, oh, green or you're yellow, you need to get to green. It gives you maybe some tools or strategies to get you there. Really age appropriate ones. Maybe chewing gum isn't.
Do you select your age when you do it?
You do. You select kind of your level.
Okay.
And then there's that Breathe, Think, Do with Sesame. And again, that's probably for a lot younger kids, but it is designed with those Sesame Street characters, kind of the same things. There are some like next steps, and it says, you know, planning, I guess it would say, but with those Sesame Street characters. So
there are so many options.
Yeah. And then what? Then if we go into like sensory and calm, those are just kind of movement ones. Okay. Bone noodle is.
And I think those are things, some of these are already commonly embedded in classrooms.
Yeah. Right? I was aware of a lot of them. Yeah. And then as we get to fine motor, that's kind of my favorite. I use my kid's iPad a lot for his fine motor work. Dexteria Junior is hand exercises. I've seen this at the clinic. I've seen my son's OT kind of use this. It's they use it to develop hand strength, but really those really, really fine motor, like pointing and pinching and tracing, but all within this app. Letter School is handwriting practice. My favorite handwriting practice one is Writing Wizard. That allows you to customize it. I can put my kid's name in there. I could put sight words in there. Okay. You can pick different varying levels. I just like that I can make his name in there, and then he can trace his name.
It's functional.
It's totally functional. And at the end, when they complete it, there's a big explosion and fireworks.
Oh, who doesn't love that?
Right. It's super fun.
Hooked everybody.
See later. Yeah. Yeah. There's just a few other ones. And then... there were we ended the day at iPad boot camp. We put a cherry on top by our gross motor app, and it was our super stretch yoga. And it was really fun because it puts the yoga poses into cartoon-like characters, the downward dog. There was a dog with his bum in the air, and then we all did it. You know, you have to kind of match the same poses as the animals.
Perfect.
Yeah. So it's really fun, and it got our wiggles out. It gets you moving, but it's very age-appropriate for kids, too.
If you'll remember, way back in the dark ages, we did a variation of that
and parent leadership.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
I do remember that.
Back in the dark ages.
Back in the dark ages.
So we spent just two whole days just learning about assistive technology, and I learned that assistive technology is so much more than you think it is.
Yeah, it sounds like it's way more than I think it is.
And you can kind of do something with everything. There is an app to support everybody. Sometimes you're going to spend a lot of money. Sometimes you're not going to spend any money.
So thank you for bringing that up. Mm-hmm. Is there a fund for schools where they, like an assistive technology fund? Because assistive technology is part of IDEA.
Yeah.
It is a must.
Absolutely. And if these apps are necessary to support a student's learning in the school environment for their free and appropriate education, yeah, these are apps that the school should and could be asked to pay for to ask to house on their own assistive technology. Yeah.
And what about the AT project?
Yes.
Were they there?
They were there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And did they talk about their lending libraries?
They did not necessarily talk about their lending libraries, but I think it's because everybody there knew about it. But okay. I could talk about it.
Yeah, pretend like I don't know anything about lending.
So I did mention earlier that we have the lovely Lovey.
She's kind of lovey. She's so freaking sweet.
She's so sweet. Janice Karsten runs our AT project that's housed out of the University of Idaho. However, it is a statewide lending library of assistive technology. And so, again, when you think of assistive technology, don't just think of iPads.
Don't just think of an AAC, Allison.
Don't, because the assistive technology that's available at those learning libraries is things like, it's the grabbers. You could have different
ramps for a wheelchair. Ramps.
Exactly. There are so many different things. Yeah, there is assistive technology that is technology. That is iPads. There are some switches. There are just, there's toys. There's varying different, there are varying levels of technology. There's some Braille machines. There are, I wonder if they have one of those alarm clocks.
I potentially could. If they don't, they need to get one because more people need to try that. If you take a sleep medication at night and you struggle to wake up in the morning, that alarm clock, its name is Clocky.
Really?
Not to be confused, I guess. So I said that the other day. I said, it's Clocky. And so someone Googled it. It could have even been Sarah in our office. And she said, oh, it's a cartoon. And I said, nay, nay, it's an alarm clock. So I think there's a real cartoon called Clocky, but the one that I purchased from Amazon, I'll put the description. I'll put the link in the description. Like and subscribe. I'm not, obviously we're not being paid by them. No. This isn't a plug, but it is something that I think people, other people could benefit from. It's just cool to know that I have just incredibly recently benefited
from
assistive technology. I know they didn't talk about the future of assistive technology with you at iPad Bootcamp, but in preparation for this podcast, I went down a rabbit hole.
Okay.
And I was thinking, you know, in 1998, when they had the Assistive Technology Act, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did they know what AT was going to look like in 2024 when we had it? Right. No, of course not. How could they have possibly known? So then that got my gears a turning. What would AT look like, you know, 20 years from now? I know 98 was like 20. Yeah. I want to pretend like it was 10 years ago.
You want to pretend a while ago. Not when I graduated.
Right. Yeah. Let's see.
Okay.
Don't age yourself.
Oh, I know. I'm sorry.
You need more assistive technology name. So I started on the Googles. There are so many websites that are dedicated to the future of assistive technology, and I've included one in the description below, the things that they were talking about. So if you think about it for a second, it makes a lot of sense, right? They're talking about the integration of AI into assistive technology, which is kind of what you touched on a little bit earlier with the smart home.
Yeah.
Okay. And the light switches.
And all of your shortcuts. I mean, we didn't even touch on shortcuts.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that that is something super cool that everybody should explore is the shortcuts. But there were two things that I really wanted to talk about because I just thought they were so cool. Okay, so the first one is smart wheelchairs, right? Okay.
Okay.
Wheelchairs and other mobility aids will become more intelligent with features like obstacle detection, autonomous navigation, and integration with smart home devices. How cool would it be if you were an individual who utilized a wheelchair and you're on your way home and you just, I want my microwave to start popping my popcorn or my Keurig to percolate.
Your door's open.
So cool. Why is it not already a possibility in the year of our Lord 2024?
Right. Well, something really cool that's along those lines that I have purchased the equipment to make this happen, and I am committing to these users or these listeners that I will do it this weekend.
I'm excited
because I want this for my son. So I have purchased a smart plug so that he, and then we can program his iPad to say, Alexa, turn on my TV. It'll turn on his TV.
So on his AIC device, he just.
And that is something I learned about the future. That's funny because I
guess we did talk about the future
a little bit. We did. And I guess more than anything, I left this boot camp as a mom of a student who uses an AAC device, really, really, really happy that my kid was born when he was born and that he has access to this. Yeah. Wow. Thank goodness. Because 20 years ago, we would have had a communication binder that we would have been carrying around trying to get
the Velcro. More of the Velcro.
More of the Velcro. Now there's a time and a place for Velcro.
Absolutely. Yes. And Velcro. You need to know of assistive technology that you can utilize should you want to go camping.
Yes.
Should the power go out?
In the bathtub. I need to be able
absolutely.
To.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So there's a time and a place for all different kinds of technology, but yeah, I'm glad you said that.
Can I talk about one?
Yeah.
Because I thought it was so cool. Okay. exoskeletons and robotics for individuals with mobility issues. Robotic exoskeletons, and I looked this up, it's real. They're really like, it's almost like ready for like the typical consumer audience. It's not just been tested. It's almost ready to be. Obviously, wow. These are prices that are astronomically different than what we're talking about, but we're talking about the future. Robotic exoskeletons will become more common, providing children with physical disabilities new opportunities for mobility and independence. And I thought about the story that I'm going to share about when you said that you had a PT on consult who helped to make sure that your son could navigate the stairs. This makes me think of like, what if schools had these in instances of emergency preparedness? Mm-hmm. What about a fire drill? What about an unsafe person drill? What about...
Right.
Anywhere, you know, we could be anywhere. Earthquake drill, tornado drill, you know, name a natural disaster, right? What if we could use these in those instances to get individuals out of the building faster and more effectively and efficiently? And again, like I said, if you're a nerd kind of like me, I've included that in the description where there is so much more than what I just described, infinitely more. And they have the future of AAC devices, which I, after knowing my audience, I should have looked that one into more into that one. But it is wild. The future is bright and big, and she's a coming down the mountain when she comes.
I mean, 20 years ago, iPads were $4,000 an iPad or something.
True. You know, that's true. So we had an iPod. We had a phone. We had a, God, a calculator.
So it's getting more accessible.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, everyone out there, for listening in. And know that if you are in Idaho or planning on moving to Idaho and have questions on systems or services for children with disabilities, please consider reaching out to us on our website at IPULIdaho, that's IPULIdaho.org, or by calling us at 208-342-5884. Be sure to tune in next time. Until then, this has been Unlimited Parenting.
Thanks for listening!